Session 71, July 15, 1964. Reading from The Early Sessions, Book 2 of the Seth Material. Good evening, Rob. Good evening, Seth. Seth. The only matter that matters to your Rupert right now is the new house, although I'm sure I do not have to tell you this. You did fill up a good turn and also enjoyed yourselves by going out the other evening. I was with you in your impromptu party at the house for a while. He, Philip, should come out well in his situation if he follows through. I would like to continue our discussion on matter. If you recall, we were entering into primary and secondary constructions. There are, of course, many subdivisions here, and also other types of constructions. We will begin, however, with primary and secondary ones. A primary construction is a psychic gestalt formed into matter by a consciousness of itself. Such a primary construction is an attempt to create, in the world of matter, a replica of the inner psychic construction of the whole self. Such a primary construction allows consciousness to operate, manipulate, and be perceived in the world of matter. The physical construction of consciousness never is complete as far as fulfilling the inner purpose is involved. That is, consciousness can never fully construct itself in matter, and to do so would indeed imprison such a consciousness so that it could not escape the transient nature of matter itself. Even a primary construction, therefore, is but a partial appearance of inner nature into matter. The term consciousness, as I am here using it, may need some explanation, although you should by now understand my meaning. Rob notes Jane's delivery had by now slowed up considerably. She began to take long pauses between phrases. It appeared that this session would be another of the kind wherein Seth tries very hard to make accurate points. They usually leave Jane quite tired. After delivering the material, she appears to search very carefully for just the right word. Seth, what you consider your consciousness, or yourself, or your thinking ego, represents, of course, only one portion of your entire consciousness. That part, which you are using at this time. It is as if, for example, consciousness of any whole self were compared to a huge and indeed almost infinite light, with the ability inherent in the light to focus in many directions, to be diffused, as if the light had many switches that would turn it to greater or lesser intensities and directions. Some conditions, some roads and countries, would require different beams to meet different circumstances, as even in automobiles you use your high beams or low beams, according to necessity or utility. And in some cases the high beams would not only be ineffective but dangerous, and so low beams are used. So, the whole self turns various portions of its whole consciousness on or off, according to the field in which the whole self is endeavoring to make contact manipulations, and according to the field in which he is endeavoring to project himself. To use full consciousness would be most distracting in many instances. When I speak, therefore, of primary constructions in the physical field, other fields, of course, have their own primary constructions also, though they would not be composed of matter in your terms. Secondary physical constructions are those created by a consciousness of its conception of other consciousnesses, from data received through telepathy and other means. I suggest your first break. Rob notes, break at 9:26. Jane was dissociated as usual. She resumed in the same deliberate manner at 9:32. Seth. Consciousness, therefore, forms the primary construction about itself, not to protect itself from matter, but in order to become allied with matter. The consciousness obviously being diffused through the whole physical construction. It hovers about and within the construction. It is not imprisoned by the construction. The apparent imprisoning of consciousness within the primary construction is the result of ignorance, and also an inability that has arisen for various reasons. As far as using all the powers of consciousness, this is strictly cultural, and has nothing to do with the inherent properties of either consciousness or matter. Secondary constructions, being composed of atoms and molecules, contain generalized consciousness and innate capsule comprehension. They do not contain the unifying, integrating, organizing, personal direction of a whole self. They do achieve value fulfillment, however, and within the limits set by their own abilities, they also perform the duties of construction. This should be obvious. Here we run into something of which I have sometimes mentioned concerning after images. Since in actuality all constructions are simultaneous, realize that I use the term after for its simplicity to your way of thought. These after images could be imagined as rippling outward from any primary construction. Therefore, there would be no end to these. They vary, of course, in intensity. The intertwining of consciousness and matter is most intricate and highly complicated. In all cases, consciousness is first, and it forms its physical constructions according to its abilities, first of all forming its own primary construction, and then branching outward, constructing secondary images of other consciousness with whom it comes in contact. The cooperative aspects of consciousness construction forms the whole fabric of your material universe. A subdivision of primary construction can be called the distortive mirror construction, which would include, of course, the physical construction of another physical being in birth. This distortive attempt to recreate the self once more on the physical plane, and to ensure self-continuity within that plane, is the basis for the divergence of physical types and characteristics. Such a creation, or recreation, is obviously impossible. The distortions are so great that the attempt is foredoomed. It is nevertheless attempted and is a necessary physical adjunct to constructions in your field. I have explained birth, at least briefly. The new human being is obviously not either the father or the mother, and yet is obviously a construction formed of each from physical matter belonging to each. Yet the physical matter of the born infant contains none of the same physical matter which was initially from the parents. The original matter has completely disappeared, to be replaced by other matter, as the consciousness of the infant slowly constructs about itself its growing awareness of itself into physical matter. The parents, therefore, give definite parts of their own physical matter to initiate the infant's construction, and yet it is not this particular matter which grows. Rob notes again, Jane was delivering this material very slowly with many pauses. Seth. Call the particular matter given by the parents X and Y. When the child is born, it does not contain anywhere within it these particular portions of matter called X and Y. It would appear that the matter had changed. Instead, the matter has vanished in ways that I have explained earlier. Do you recall? Rob notes, yes. See the 60th session, page 144, among others. Seth. No particle of matter is the same in the born infant that was contained in either the fetus or earlier in the sperm or egg. I'm going into all this for a reason. Leave this for a moment and consider a seed, a grass seed. You say that grass grows from a seed, but the grass is not the seed. The material of the grass is not the material of the seed. From experience, you know that the seed will often precede the grass. I suggest your break. Rob notes break at 10:03. Jane was dissociated as usual. My writing hand felt no fatigue. Jane resumed in the same manner at 10:10. Seth. As usual, this is putting things backwards. The grass contains no particle of matter that is identical in the seed. Here you see clearly the difference between value fulfillment and what you call growth. In your physical field, value fulfillment consists of the development of the ability of the immaterial to express itself within the physical field. Growth is an erroneous conception that begins with the distortive idea of continuous physical matter, durability in time. As you know, instead, matter is the simultaneous expression of consciousness. Matter has little, really no, durability in itself and is merely the instantaneous form taken by consciousness as it projects itself in the physical field. Grass is common. It is supposed to grow from seed, yet again, no particle of matter is the same in seed or grass. Seed does not grow into grass. Acorns do not grow into trees. Children do not grow into adults. In all instances, no particle of matter is the same in the so-called grown version and the initial construction. Matter does not grow. I cannot make this too plain. Rob notes, now, Jane took a long pause as she paced around the room. Seth, there is obviously something identical and some continuity between the child and the adult, but it does not matter. Consciousness, according to its ability, projects itself into the physical plane, and through value fulfillment it constructs its image. It must work according to its ability to do this. It must first get a foothold, so to speak, hence our seed. As the consciousness attains its foothold, it projects more effectively. It dispenses with its atoms and molecules or matter almost instantaneously, as you know. The atoms and molecules appear and disappear, their places taken by others, so quickly that you do not notice the constant coming and going. The form that consciousness takes in the field of matter is determined by its own strength and capacity. Consciousness forces its way into matter. You should see, then, that though you call a particular portion of grass a blade of grass, the matter that composes it is not static or permanent, and it is not a particular physical object growing, since the matter that composes it is neither static or permanent. You say that the matter that composes it steadily changes, but this is not the case. The apparent continuity is a result of your inability to perceive the actual atoms that compose matter as they appear and disappear. Because grass appears where seeds have been sown, you have leaped to the conclusion that the matter of the seeds grows from the matter of which they are composed, and that grass grows from the actual matter of the seeds. Again, there is absolutely no continuity in the matter that composes the seeds and the matter that composes the grass. What you have instead is the value fulfillment of the consciousness behind matter as it expands and expresses itself in various forms. Since you can more or less count upon the appearance of grass seed preceding grass, all this may seem making much over nothing, but it is very important, as you will see later. It is not matter that has continuity. It is not matter that dictates the form. I suggest your break. Break at 10:36. Jane was dissociated as usual. My writing hand felt no fatigue. Jane resumed in the same manner, very deliberate and searching fashion at 10:38. Seth, now that we have gone into the nature of matter as it pertains to grass, you will understand my next analogy more clearly. Consider a lawn. Obviously, this is an arbitrary designation for utility's sake. Of itself, the matter of grass does not form itself into a lawn. You merely designate certain portions of grass and call it lawn. This is the same sort of thing you do when you designate certain portions of matter as blades of grass. Lawns do not come from grass. That is, grass does not grow into a lawn. Do you follow me here? Rob notes, yes. Jane's delivery was becoming quite forceful now. Seth. And neither, then, do seeds grow, underline that so it's plain, into grass. You perceive certain matter as blades of grass, as you perceive the matter of grass as lawn. You can see clearly that the matter of grass in a lawn is not the same. Then understand also that the matter within one blade of grass is not the same. You call a floor. Matter may be added to the floor in the form of paint or varnish. Yet you still call the floor. Paint may be added to a house, and paint may disappear from a house through weathering, and you still call a house a house. You call yourself yourself, though the color of your hair may change, and indeed the adults bear little resemblance to the child. Form simply cannot be a characteristic of matter, since matter can be proven to come and go, while form, in many cases, remains recognizable. This will be a vital point in later discussions. You must and will learn to look at things in a different way, and many implications will arise from tonight's discussion that will carry us further along our way. You will indeed see clearly that matter is created simultaneously and has no duration, but is completely and almost instantly replaced by other matter, and that identity and continuity are not characteristics of matter, but must be found in other places. This has been a most fruitful session, and I will close it unless you have questions that you want to ask me. Seth, I guess I have none for a change. I felt that Jane might enjoy the extra time off. Seth. Then I shall say good evening. Perhaps I shall accompany you to your house Saturday, though I refuse to do Rupert's cleaning for him. Let me tell you that only now, with this material, will we really begin our leap into real understandings of things as they are. My congratulations, both of you. You have hereby completed the preliminary lessons of our course, and I mean preliminary. This is the material without which no deep understanding could ever be achieved. It marks the first important step in your development and understanding, and I give you an A. It still, however, merely represents the base point of achievement, a necessary first step along the way. I am very pleased with both of you, and this could be called the end of Book 1. There will be many more books. Rob, good. But this is the beginner's manual. As much of it as possible should be read by anyone who may become interested. It is a book of facts as they must be interpreted for your comprehension. And that last sentence is extremely important, for they must be interpreted and translated into terms that are comprehensible to you. You have both not only done well on the level of theory, but also are also learning practical application, which is excellent. In your dealings with the physical universe and with other individuals, you have really made great gains. Your constructions have improved tremendously and in line with your expectations. We will go into this in our next lesson, as the subject is vital. You have helped others as well as yourselves. Any seeming caution on Rupert's part has been necessary, particularly in the beginning. This caution will gradually be replaced by expectation and confidence, but it is a necessary element. His psychic abilities are being channeled as they should be. They are too strong to be yet allowed a greater freedom. Yet even now his confidence will begin, and it will aid in the development of future sessions. Your psychic strength is extremely important, Joseph, in our communications, and without it, adequate communications would be most difficult. Because we three have been closely involved in the past, the psychic gestalt between us is possible, and we do have a psychic gestalt. I will now close, but I want to give you some sort of report card, so to speak. And we may end up missing some sessions due to your vacations and your purchase of the house, but not too many. Good night, my most dear friends and pupils. Even now, I prepare your new house for you, in ways more important than physical cleaning that Rupert contemplates. Rob, good night, Seth. A very good session. End at 11:10. Jane was dissociated as usual, she said. Seth could have continued had we been willing. By now, my writing hand had tired, and Jane was quite tired. It had been one of those sessions that really took something out of her. She had, she said, felt that Seth was pushing the material through.